Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, June 7th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
an exclusive with the People's Bank of China governor, his first broadcast interview with international media.
Plus, the clock counts down to U.S. tariffs on Mexico as negotiations enter their third day.
And Wall Street awaits the May jobs report as calls for a rate cut from the Fed mount.
Democratic frontrunner Joe Biden flips his position over his support for the Hyde Amendment, saying times have changed. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Wins for the Mets and Yankees. The Blues beat the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Final. They'll play the semifinals today at the French Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Insight. BNY Mellon Pershing's must-attend event for the financial advice community, June 12th through the 14th in Phoenix. If you haven't registered, visit BNYMellonInsight.com to register today.
And global stocks are rising ahead of the U.S. jobs report, 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points, Dow futures up 76, and NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%, so is the FTSE 100, the CAC in Paris up 1.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.11%, the yield on the 2-year 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4%, or 73 cents, at $53.34 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25%, or $3.10, at $13.39.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1268 against the dollar, and the yen is at 108.49. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the threat of U.S. tariffs on Mexico if the two sides can't reach a deal on immigration enforcement before Monday's deadline. President Trump is toughening his rhetoric on the matter in an interview with Fox News.
We don't need them. They need us. They stole 32% of our car business with NAFTA, the stupidest deal, one of the truly stupid deals of our time.
There has been tough talk from the White House, along with vague signs of progress in negotiations, which now enter their third day. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Still not enough. That was the message to Mexican negotiators after 2 days of talks. Although Vice President Mike Pence says the administration is encouraged by what Mexico has brought to the table, never mind talk by some officials that the sanctions might be delayed as time for a deal runs short.
At this point, the tariffs are going to be imposed on Monday.
The vice president told reporters the U.S. informed Mexico's delegation it needed more than internal enforcement. The talks will continue, but the U.S. demand for decisive action was about as specific as Pence would get. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bob, thank you. Meanwhile, President Trump's rhetoric on China is a bit softer.
I'll definitely get a deal with China. I mean, they want to make a deal now. I will say I'd want to get a deal, but what they did was very bad. We had a deal, and they tried to renegotiate. They can't do that.
The next chance to end the stalemate with Beijing comes this weekend when Secretary Steven Mnuchin meets PBOC Governor Yi Gang at the G20 Finance Ministers Summit in Japan. Overnight, Governor Yi discussed the trade dispute in an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, his first ever broadcast interview with international media.
After 11 rounds of negotiation, we have achieved a tremendous consensus. But for the reason that everybody knows, right now we are running into a great difficulty.
PBOC Governor Yi Gang says he's hopeful that talks with Secretary Mnuchin this weekend will be productive. At the same time, he tells us China has tremendous room to adjust monetary policy in response to the trade war.
For further hike in tariff, escalating of trade war, our policy toolkit is ready. We have tremendous room. If something bad happening, our monetary policy could act in a right direction. We have plenty room in interest rate, plenty room in required reserve ratio rate, and also for the fiscal monetary policy toolkit, the room for adjustment is tremendous.
PBOC Governor Yi Gang, speaking exclusively to Bloomberg, says there's no line in the sand for China's currency. Analysts have previously suggested a seven handle could be a red line for Beijing. The yuan weakened after his remarks and is currently trading at 6.95 against the dollar.
Of course, China and Mexico are in focus, but so are jobs, with the U.S. government's monthly employment report due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a gain of 175,000 jobs in May, with the unemployment rate and average hourly earnings holding steady. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
The focus is squarely on the number of jobs created in May after the ADP employment report suggested very weak hiring during the month. Other indicators, including jobless claims and reports on manufacturing and service industries, show more strength in the labor market. So analysts still forecast a reasonably good payrolls number. They're also looking for no change in the unemployment rate, currently at its lowest since 1969. The combination should mean relatively strong hourly earnings. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Meanwhile, stock analysts are not sure what they want in today's jobs data, with uncertainty over how weak or strong employment numbers could affect Fed policy. Good may be good, or good may be bad. As Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports, Wall Street is decidedly undecided.
The question, will a weak report boost rate cut odds, or maybe the cuts are already priced in? Mixed economic data isn't helping. A measure of U.S. manufacturing activity fell in May to the lowest since October 2016, but household wealth hit a record in the first quarter, and different measures of confidence have soared. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. So while traders expect a rate cut this year, New York Fed President John Williams isn't endorsing one. Instead, he's warning about low inflation.
While I will always be vigilant about inflation that gets too high, it's actually inflation that's too low that's the more pressing problem today.
While Williams stopped short of endorsing a rate cut, he reinforced the flexibility Fed Chair Jerome Powell signaled earlier this week. Officials have signaled they're open to easing policy if an escalating trade war dims the economic outlook.
Meanwhile, President Trump's trade wars have wiped out all but $100 from the average American household's windfall from the 2017 tax overhaul. That's according to research from the New York Fed, which says tariffs have already cost the average household about $831 compared to the $930 average tax cut.
And shares of Beyond Meat are surging again this morning. The stock had quadrupled since last month's IPO. It's up another 19% this morning on a sales outlook that topped analyst estimates. This is Bloomberg. And at 5:07 on Wall Street, it is time to check the latest world and national news. On this Friday morning, it's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump says GOP lawmakers undercut his Mexico tariff negotiations. President Trump says Republicans who criticize potential tariffs on Mexico should be ashamed of themselves. The U.S. and Mexico are set to resume talks in Washington today to avoid the president's 5% tariffs on all imports from Mexico starting Monday. U.S. oil companies are warning of high gas prices from tariffs on Mexico. They say it would also strain refiners reliant on crude from the country. President Trump also had some choice words for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The president, speaking to Fox News, was asked about talk of impeachment.
I think she's a disgrace. I actually don't think she's a talented person. I've tried to be nice to her because I would have liked to have gotten some deals done. She's incapable of doing deals. She's a nasty, vindictive, horrible person.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden has reversed his position on the Hyde Amendment.
If I believe health care is a right, as I do, I can no longer support an amendment that makes that right dependent on someone's zip code.
Biden, speaking at a Democratic fundraiser in Atlanta, says times have changed. His reversal came after rivals and women's rights groups blasted him for affirming through his campaign aides that he still supported the ban on using federal health care money to pay for abortions. The Justice Department released a voicemail from President Trump's attorney, John Dow, to Rob Kelner, Michael Flynn's lawyer, where he sought information about Flynn's discussions with the special counsel. According to the audio, Dowd asked Kelner for some kind of heads up. Good news for anyone who gets several unwanted robocalls a day. The Federal Communication Commission is telling providers it's okay to block them. Attorney Jessica Rosenworcel, a ranking Democratic commissioner at the FCC, spoke to ABC.
At the start of this administration, there were about 2 billion robocalls United States consumers received a month. Now that number is about 5 billion. That's an extraordinary increase, and we are all annoyed.
Rosenworcel says the FCC needs to require authentication technology that will help identify trusted and untrusted calls. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, it was back in December that the St. Louis Blues fired their coach. They had the worst record in the NHL. How things have changed.
Bruins win it. Back to the right point it comes. Shot by Krejci. Stopped by Binnington. Puck is loose. Steen has it. Time winding down. The St. Louis Blues win Game 5. The Stanley Cup will be in the house on Sunday night, and the Blues will have an opportunity to win their first championship. They take Game 5 here in Boston by the score of 2-1.
The Blues scored two goals second period, held on. They're 9-3 on the road these playoffs. They've won two straight from Boston after dropping Game 3. 7-2. Now it's back to the NBA. Game 4, Toronto leads 2-1. Golden State will get Klay Thompson back from injury tonight, but not Kevin Durant. Yankees ended their three-game losing streak, 6-2 in Toronto. Big three-run homer from Aaron Hicks. Solo shot for Gio Urshela. Fifth straight win for Jay Happ. Aroldis Chapman the save. Blue Jays had the bases loaded in the ninth inning. It's on to Cleveland tonight, and D.D. Gregorius will make his season debut after offseason elbow surgery. The Met homestand continues against Colorado. Quick start yesterday. First two batters homered, and then Todd Frazier in the eighth inning to snap a tie. Mets beat the Giants 7-3. Dallas Keuchel, one-time Cy Young winner in Houston, who had been unsigned, is going to pitch for the Atlanta Braves. Semifinals today at the French Open. The women start shortly. The marquee event, Rafael Nadal versus Roger Federer, 39th meeting. Nadal leads 23-15, including 5-0 in Paris. Tomorrow night, just before 7, it's the Belmont Stakes, 151st edition. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshauer. Nathan?
And John, of course, tonight it's the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We speak with the number two official at the NBA who oversees many of the league's business initiatives. Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum joins us for a conversation on Bloomberg's Business of Sports tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 in the morning on Bloomberg Radio. You can also listen to Bloomberg Business of Sports as a podcast on iTunes. S&P futures up 8, Dow futures up 74 points, NASDAQ futures up 26.5. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street, will trade tensions be reflected in today's May jobs report? We speak with economist Kevin Cummins of NatWest Market Securities. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is Jobs Day. Stocks rising in Europe, along with U.S. stock index futures, and the run-up to a key U.S. jobs report. The dollar's climbing and Treasury yields are steady. And China's markets are closed for a holiday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points, Dow futures up 73, NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.11%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4% or 73 cents at $53.32 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $4 to $13.3870 an ounce. The euro 1.1268 against the dollar, the yen 108.49. The May employment report out at 8:30 Wall Street time that attendance wholesale inventories at 3 consumer credit. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump said Republicans who criticize potential tariffs on Mexico should be ashamed of themselves for undercutting the U.S. negotiating position. President Trump told Fox News what they're doing is they're hurting the deal, and they should be saying we're with the president. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden told a fundraiser in Atlanta that he no longer supports the Hyde Amendment. That's the longstanding congressional ban on using federal health care money for abortions. In Game 5 of the NHL final, the Blues are a game away from winning the Stanley Cup. St. Louis beat the Bruins 2-1 last night. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets beat the Giants 7-3. The Red Sox and A's were winners. The Nationals and Orioles lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this Jobs Friday, We're joined by Kevin Cummins, economist at NatWest Market Securities. Nice to talk with you as always, Kevin. The report, of course, due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Could this be the jobs report where we see trade tensions reflected in the data?
I think we'll certainly start to see some evidence of that. And that's, the market is very much anticipating this one, even more so than usual. So I think it'll be a pretty solid report, but I do think it's going to show some moderation relative to the pace we've seen more recently.
Where are you going to be looking for that reflection?
Well, I think the manufacturing sector is one area that has certainly suffered in the wake of the increase in tariffs that we saw announced last year and that went into place. And we've seen a pretty big downshift in manufacturing activity more broadly this year, including payrolls. So, I think the market is very much a little bit on edge because of these increased concerns about the trade wars. So I'm afraid that if we do see a very weak number, that the market will very much price in an early action from the Fed.
If we do see that reflected in the data on the manufacturing sector, I mean, we have seen gains in productivity at the same time, though, haven't we? I mean, could that play into the Fed's calculus as well?
Yeah, I think, and they seem somewhat they've acknowledged the pickup that we've seen over the past year. Productivity, as you mentioned, has increased. Whether or not it's just a cyclical move here or if it's more structural in nature can be debated, but I do think it's an encouraging sign from that perspective. I mean, consensus expectations are for about 175,000, I think, on the Bloomberg. So I think, that would be more than sufficient to continue to put downward pressure on the unemployment rate, that the Fed would be pretty confident that for now the economy, at least heading into the latest round of trade escalation, it seems to be in pretty healthy shape. So I think if we do get a consensus number, the market will certainly price out any expectation for any Fed in June. But it does seem that the economy is starting to lose a little bit of upward momentum here in 2019. So I think from the Fed's perspective, they are going to be pretty sensitive to any sort of slowing that we're seeing in the economy. And so far, the labor market has been the one real underlying strength in the economy that, while some of the other data have been a little bit more mixed, the labor market situation more broadly has been very solid.
Does that show the strength of the services sector of the labor market as opposed to manufacturing?
Yeah, there's definitely been a bit of a split so far this year. We saw it the other day when we got the non-manufacturing ISM survey, and that actually improved a bit relative to the manufacturing survey, which for the month of May wasn't really all that much change. It did hold above the 50 mark, so it is suggesting that factories are growing, albeit at a very slow pace. So I think, in general, I think the backdrop for the labor market is pretty solid. We saw a big jump in the employment index in that non-manufacturing survey, and that it's a pretty good bellwether for how service sector payrolls are in a given month. So I think, after seeing the ADP report, which sent a somewhat conflicting signal, I think people were a little bit relieved to see that the non-manufacturing index, the employment index in particular, showed a nice rebound. I'm a little bit concerned, though, if it's just missing an inflection point here. It hasn't done all that great of a job as far as picking up changes when the trend is changing, that non-manufacturing index. So I'm a little bit concerned if it just reflects the strength that we saw last month when payrolls were reported up 263,000, or if it's really signaling continued strength this month.
Just about 30 seconds left here. You mentioned the 175,000 consensus. Are you in line with that?
We are, yes. So, we're at NatWest Markets. We have a forecast of 185,000. Mm-hmm. But, you know, generally I don't give the ADP all that much credence to forecasting the BLS number. Mm-hmm. But it is somewhat rare for the ADP figures to be that far below consensus. That ADP number was just a 27,000, which was the weakest since October of 2010. So there is a little bit of concern. I think, you know, while we continue to look for a pretty solid number,
right,
I think the risks are tilted to the low side.
Kevin Cummins, economist, NatWest Market Securities. Again, the May jobs report due out 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast 175,000 new jobs added. NatWest is at 180,000. It is coming up to 5:25 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Good morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque. It was designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures pointing to a fourth straight day of gains for the S&P 500. Stocks in Europe are higher. The dollar stronger. Treasury yields are steady as investors await the May jobs report. More on that in just a minute.
Now, first, we bring you the latest developments on trade. The U.S. and Mexico resume talks today, with Vice President Mike Pence saying tariffs will be imposed Monday if a deal can't be reached on immigration. President Trump is toughening his rhetoric as well in an interview with Fox News.
We don't need them. They need us. They stole 32% of our car business with NAFTA, the stupidest deal, one of the truly stupid deals of our time.
Former Mexican President Vicente Fox weighed in on the issue in an interview with Bloomberg.
He's blackmailing Mexico because he claims we have not done our job on the migration issue. It's incredible that you mix both issues that they don't have nothing to do with each other, but yet he blackmails Mexico with this.
Meanwhile, People's Bank of China Governor Yi Gang says his country can take steps if the trade war with the U.S. deepens. Overnight, he spoke exclusively with Bloomberg, his first ever broadcast interview with international media.
We have tremendous room. If something bad happening, our monetary policy could act in a right direction. The room for adjustment is tremendous.
Governor Yi is scheduled to meet with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin this weekend at the G20 Finance Ministers Summit in Japan.
Now, 3 hours from now, the U.S. government issues the employment report for May. Economists forecast job growth slowed, with payrolls rising by 175,000. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
In April, America's economy added 236,000 jobs, the most since January. For payroll growth, that may be this year's high watermark. It's forecast to slow, due in part to the impact of White House tariffs. Data on retailing, manufacturing, and construction are also flashing warning signs. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. And the stakes are high for Beyond Meat investors this morning. The stock, which has quadrupled since last month's IPO, is up another 25% in early trading after its sales outlook topped analyst estimates. S&P futures are up 9 points, Dow futures up 84, NASDAQ futures up 31, the DAX in Germany's up 0.8%, 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.12%, yield on the 2-year 1.86%, NYMEX crude oil is up 1.33%, it's at $53.30 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump said Republicans who criticize potential tariffs on Mexico should be ashamed of themselves for undercutting the U.S. negotiating position. President Trump, speaking with Fox News, bristled at criticism of his threat to apply 5% tariffs on all imports from Mexico starting Monday.
They shouldn't be able to walk through Mexico. And now I've told Mexico, if you don't stop this onslaught, this invasion, people get angry when I use the word invasion. People like Nancy Pelosi, that honestly, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. I watch her. She was saying, we have to protect Mexico. We have to take care of Mexico. Look, I'm dealing with Mexico right now.
Government prosecutors released the audio recording of a voicemail from President Trump's then personal lawyer, John Dowd, asking Michael Flynn's attorney, Rob Kelner, for some kind of heads up about the former National Security Advisor's cooperation with investigators. It's a move that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team described as a potential effort to hinder the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to federal investigators. After 2 days of intense criticism, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden reversed course and declared that he no longer supports a longstanding congressional ban on using federal health care money to pay for abortions.
Circumstances have changed. I've been working through the final details of my health care plan, like others in this race, and I've been struggling with the problems that Hyde now presents.
Biden, speaking at a Democratic fundraiser in Atlanta, says, if I believe health care is a right, as I do, I can no longer support an amendment that makes it harder for some women to access care. New York City's police commissioner apologized for the police raid on a gay bar in 1969 that became a galvanizing turning point in the gay rights movement. NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill talked about the raid on the Stonewall Inn.
The actions and the laws were discriminatory and oppressive. And for that, I apologize.
O'Neill made the official apology during a Pride Month safety briefing. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, St. Louis Blues hadn't played for the Stanley Cup in 49 years. Their cup final record had been 0-12. Now, one more victory. The Blues are Stanley Cup champs. They took Game 5 in Boston 2-1. They've got their first lead of the series 3-2. Their rookie goalie, Jordan Binnington, has bounced back after he got benched in that Game 3 7-2 loss. The Cup will be in the house for Sunday's Game 6 in St. Louis. The coach of the Blues, Craig Berube.
We got a big job ahead of us still. That's the way I look at it. I hope our team looks at it that way. We're going to get, you know, a real good Boston Bruins team again. I thought they were really good tonight. And, you know, I said we gutted a win out, which is great. But we're going to get, you know, a great performance from them. And we need to be good. We need to be ready.
Worth noting, the Bruins were down 3-2 in the first round, came back and beat Toronto. Can Golden State come back in the NBA? Down 2-1 to Toronto. Game 4 tonight in Oakland. Still no Kevin Durant, but Klay Thompson, who missed the Game 3 loss, will play for the Warriors. D.D. Gregorius will play for the Yankees tonight in Cleveland. His season debut after offseason elbow surgery. The Yanks won last night in Toronto. 6-2. J-Hap, 7 strong innings for his 5th straight win. Aaron Hicks, a 3-run homer. Todd Frazier, 2-run shot for the Mets to snap a 3-all tie in the 8th inning. They beat the Giants 7-3. The 2-star pitchers who were unsigned until this week both now have jobs. The day after Craig Kimbrell went to the Cubs, Dallas Keuchel has a deal with Atlanta. French Open women's semifinals have just started. 17-year-old New Jersey-born Amanda Anisimova trying to get to the final. Later, it's the men's semis. Roger Federer versus Rafael Nadal. Field of 10 tomorrow in the Belmont Stakes with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the sooner than you think issue with a focus on the future of tech. Jeff Muskus contributed to the issue for Bloomberg Business Week.
You know, in the midst of a sort of backlash against the conventional big tech industry that's certainly heating up, we wanted to look at, you know, what new models of innovation and technological progress can really look like.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Nassar and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street, time now for the Tri-State Business Report on this Jobs Friday morning. It's Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. A series of bills being considered by lawmakers in Albany would outlaw most tools landlords of rent-regulated units use to raise rents or eventually to regulate them. Tenant advocates say the changes would protect the supply of affordable housing, but building owners say that could discourage investment in regulated units. Wall Street's biggest worry about New Jersey is the government's $100 billion debt to its workers' pension fund. A shift in accounting rules has tripled its unfunded obligation for retirees' health care benefits. It's now thought to be $97 billion for fiscal 2017, up from $36.5 billion previously reported. Changes to the Connecticut Liquor Control Act take effect in 2020. They include creating a new wine, cider, and mead permit, consolidating the manufacturer's permits for beer, brew pub, and farm brewery into one, and establishing an out-of-state retailer shipper's permit for wine. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about the owners of the 76ers buying a majority stake in pro esports team Clutch Gaming.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Wells Fargo agreed to pay at least $385 million to settle an alleged auto insurance scam.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a Bloomberg survey predicting a drop for sterling if Boris Johnson becomes the next prime minister.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting automakers want President Trump to restart talks with California over vehicle emission regulations.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, Google reportedly has warned the White House its Huawei ban could cause security risks. According to the Financial Times, Google's asked to be exempted from any ban. The company is said to have warned it wouldn't be able to update its Android operating system on Huawei phones, and that could lead to Huawei developing its own version. That version of Android, Google says, could be more vulnerable to hacking. And Sanofi has named Novartis executive Paul Hudson as its next CEO. The French drug maker is replacing current chief executive Olivier Brandicourt with one of its top managers at its Swiss rival. Brandicourt is retiring. Hudson's left Novartis' pharmaceuticals unit since 2016. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Up next, more from Bloomberg's exclusive interview with People's Bank of China Governor Yi Gang. Is the world's second largest economy bracing for a protracted trade war? Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is Jobs Day. Stocks are rising in Europe along with U.S. stock index futures in the run-up to the key U.S. employment report. The dollar is climbing and Treasury yields are steady. China's markets closed for a holiday. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7.5 points. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 2.12%. Yield on the 2-year 1.86%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 53 cents at $53.12 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% or $4.30 at $13.38.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1267 against the dollar. The yen 108.54. And the May employment report at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. At 10, it's wholesale inventories and at 3, consumer credit. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, former Vice President Joe Biden is reversing his stance on the Hyde Amendment, a provision that prevents federal money from being used to pay for abortion. During his remarks at a Democratic fundraiser in Atlanta, Biden said that continued attacks on Roe v. Wade and a slew of restrictive abortion bills around the country contributed to his reversal on the issue. U.S. oil companies are frantically lobbying congressional allies and the White House against President Trump's plan to slap escalating tariffs on Mexican exports, saying it would hike the price of gasoline and strain refiners reliant on crude from the country. Game 5 of the NHL Final, the Blues are a game away from winning the Stanley Cup. St. Louis beat the Bruins 2-1 last night. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets beat the Giants 7-3. The Red Sox and A's were winners. The Nationals and Orioles lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. As the trade dispute between the U.S. and China shows no sign of slowing, the rhetoric from both sides has ramped up in recent weeks. Since the start of the conflict, China's currency has weakened dramatically, now trading at its weakest level since November. Against that backdrop, we have an exclusive conversation with the People's Bank of China governor, Yi Gang. He spoke with Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie overnight in Yi's first ever broadcast interview with international media. Let's listen in.
You'll be heading to the G20. You'll be meeting with the U.S. Secretary of Treasury, Steve Mnuchin. Is that an opportunity to get the talks back on track? What would you be hoping to achieve?
I think we are going to talk global economy, of course, and also G20 issues, as always. But also we will discuss the topics that commonly interested to both sides. I think it would be a productive talk.
If we find ourselves in a position where we see tariffs imposed on all Chinese goods to the U.S. market, and maybe some retaliation from the Chinese side, that will lead to a slightly softer, weaker economy domestically, and then a depreciating renminbi.
That is a lot of economist model. And if you are an economist, you have a framework to predict. That's pretty much what they say. For us, I think I see a lot of resilience and robustness of Chinese economy. Renminbi serve as a stabilizer for adjustment and also for balance of payments. And our policy for further hike in tariff, escalating of trade war, our policy toolkit is ready. We have tremendous room. If something bad happening, our monetary policy could act in a right direction. We have plenty room in interest rate, plenty room in required reserve ratio rate, and also for the fiscal monetary policy toolkit, the room for adjustment is tremendous.
That is People's Bank of China Governor Yi Gang speaking exclusively with Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie, who joins us now from our Beijing studio. Well done, Tom. It sounds as though perhaps the key takeaway from Governor Yi is his contention that the policy toolkit for the PBOC remains strong. Was that your takeaway?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there is a sense now in Beijing amongst officials and business leaders that we speak to that this trade war could play out in the long term. And so they are now preparing their defensive moves. And this is what we heard from the central bank saying we do have, trying to reassure investors and domestic audience as well, saying we do have the tools at place to put in play should these trade tensions escalate from here. And we've already seen since the start of 2018, for example, six cuts to the reserve ratios to try to ensure that there is liquidity going into the banking system. We've had things called open market operations to ensure that there's liquidity as well for the financial system. And they've, of course, on the fiscal side, announced a string of tax cuts worth about $300 billion. So certainly this was an attempt by the central bank governor to reassure investors that they do have the tools at their disposal should these trade tensions escalate from here.
Did you get the sense that the Chinese government is willing to accept a weaker renminbi?
Well, they are struggling in terms of their priorities, or at least they have to weigh up different priorities, of course. One is the domestic pressure, particularly from the manufacturers and the exporters, to allow the yuan to depreciate to offset some of the impact of the tariffs. But also, officials here are very cognizant of the fact that the US is paying close attention to the currency, and so there's a concern about pouring flames or fuel onto the fire in that respect, aggravating the US should it depreciate quickly. The other concern, of course, is that it would exacerbate or at least lead to capital outflows and then pressure the financial system. So there are these competing priorities that the central bank governor has to weigh up. But the sense we got from him was that should there be a full-blown trade war, that there would be at least a measure of comfort from the PBOC in terms of allowing the yuan to, or watching the yuan depreciate to some degree, but longer term, he was keen to emphasize he thinks this will be a stable and strong currency.
Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie with us from Beijing. Tom, thank you. We will have much more from Tom McKenzie's exclusive interview with PBOC Governor Yi Gang throughout the morning here on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
All right. right. Thank you, Nathan. It is currently 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Today, we discuss a climate change lawsuit brought by a group of 21 young Americans that faced a pivotal appeals court hearing this week. During arguments, three judges grappled with the question of whether climate change violates the constitutional rights of young people who are suing the government over the use of fossil fuels. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Charles Warren, chair of the environmental practice at Kramer Levin.
Chuck, tell us what makes the arguments of these young plaintiffs novel.
Well, June, this is really novel in that there's never been an argument put forth that there's a constitutional right to be protected from fossil fuels, in effect. And what they're saying here is that they would like the court to find that this is a violation of their Fifth Amendment rights to life, liberty, and property. And there's never been anything like that in the environmental area since most lawsuits and rights are vindicated either under federal or state laws or common laws like nuisance, trespass, and things like that. But no court has ever said that there's a constitutional right to be protected against fossil fuels, in effect.
And judges are often uncomfortable with breaking new legal ground. In this case, Judge Andrew Hurwitz said to the plaintiff's attorney, "You're asking us to do a lot of new stuff, aren't you? But why not let the case go to trial where all the evidence can be presented and see if the plaintiffs can meet their burden?"
I think that's something that the district judge basically said ought to happen. And I think that there's something to be said for that and see what kind of evidence that they can present, although there are threshold legal issues that I think the court's grappling with as to whether there is really a constitutional right here, because in other cases, not quite the same as this, but when people have tried to attack greenhouse gases or air pollution using other theories behind, you know, going beyond the statutory framework, the courts basically said, no, you have to get relief using the Clean Air Act or something like that. So I think that's a hurdle that they're going to have to get over.
And that's Charles Warren, chair of the environmental practice at Kramer Levin, speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And we continue to watch shares of Beyond Meat this morning. Morning, up about 24% in early trading. Analysts at Jefferies say while Beyond Meat shares are likely to continue to rally following the faux meat maker's inaugural earnings report as a public company, investors should wait for them to drop before buying the stock. S&P futures are higher this morning, up 8 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures are up 29. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.12%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.87%. And the 30-year yield, 2.61%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 62 cents to $53.21 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.33%, down $4.40 at $13.38.30 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.